With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in Possible. Coming up, the latest episode of KCSN Update with the stories, stats, headlines, and rumors people are talking about to get you caught up on all things regarding the Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs. Rotating guests with different perspectives. The latest episode of KCSN Update, presented by DraftKings, begins now.
Hello and welcome in to today's episode of KCSN Update. I am your host, Tucker Franklin, hanging out with Sterling Holmes, host of the Home Stretch on Sports Radio 810 and also ESPN Kansas City, and host of the Arrowhead Report podcast. Sterling, I am so happy to be joined by you today to talk about some NFL rule changes. We're talking the third quarterback rule. I'm calling it the Brock Purdy rule at this point. We're talking the fair catch rule that has been hotly talked about in the recent days, and also Thursday Night Flex rule. But Sterling, before we get into all that, how are you doing, my man? How are you feeling?
I'm good. The weather's getting hot. The golf swing is feeling good. Man, I'll tell you what, it's a great day. It's a great week. It's a great year. Anytime you can be a Chiefs fan and you're living in this type of success, this run, it's always great.
Absolutely. It absolutely is. But Sterling has been so kind to have me on the Arrowhead Addict podcast before. I said, you know what, Sterling, you come on the KCSN Update podcast. We'll talk about what's going on. Now, to be fair, you had me on when it was a little bit more interesting of a time in the offseason. We get to talk about rule changes because it is May and almost June. And that is the dead period. But Sterling, I've got to ask you something. You and I were both in attendance at Joshua Briscoe's wedding. I've got to ask you what your favorite wedding song is to start this off. When you're at a wedding, when you're feeling a little loose, you know, you've had a couple woodchucks, what are you looking for in a wedding song? What do you want to pop on that playlist?
Probably anything by Blink-182 or Copperhead Road by Steve Earle. I'm a big line dance guy, and you know, the Cupid Shuffle is fine. I also love the Cupid Shuffle. They say, got a brand new thing. It's called the Cupid Shuffle. I mean, when are they going to drop it's a brand new thing? I mean, it's been like 2004, but I'm a line dance guy. You give me some Copperhead Road by Steve Earle, I'll get out there.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's very strong. And we were at the right wedding for the Blink-182 because I think there was some Blink-182 played at that wedding. Mr. Brightside is always a good one, always a fan favorite, I think. Joshua Briscoe and I were getting into it, yelling at each other for Mr. Brightside.
Yeah, and you and me being Mizzou fans.
It wasn't
the most PC situation going on.
No, there were actually a lot of KU fans there too, and we had to let them know what was going on. If you know, you know. Okay, Sterling, let's get into these rule changes. So the NFL owners are at meetings. I think right now as we're recording, they're still at these meetings. These are their spring league meetings. So they have their regular league meetings after the Super Bowl gets done. These are in Minneapolis. They're going through their meetings, and they said, you know what? We need to make some more rule changes after the first batch of rule changes. We need to change the rules a little bit more. And I want to talk about this first rule change because I think that none of these rule changes really seem popular. I will say that between players and coaches. The third quarterback one might be a little bit more popular with players and coaches, but the fair catch rule, Pat McAfee has been very avid against this. Special teams coaches hate it. All players hate it. So if you don't know, it's a lot like the college rule. If you guys go watch college football, you can fair catch a ball if on a kickoff. This is a kickoff to open the game. If the ball is anywhere behind the 25-yard line, you can fair catch it. catch the ball, and you get the ball at the 25-yard line. So it's kind of takes a lot of it out, a lot of competition out of the game there on the kickoffs. One of the most exciting elements of the game of football. Sterling, I want to know your thoughts on this rule.
Devin Hester, Dante Hall, what would they be if this rule was in place? I think a lot of the head coaches right now are going to probably try and make sure the players just call for the fair catch, because let's put this in perspective. If you're a Chiefs fan, you really shouldn't be that upset, because now you're for sure getting at the 25, or at least you should. And that's right. Positive. With the offense the Chiefs have, there's no reason to risk potentially losing the ball, starting at the 19. It doesn't really matter. Get the ball to 25, give it to Mahomes, get the offense out there, get it going. You're fine. But it does irritate me from a football perspective. One of the things that got me into being a football fan as a kid was actually special teams, and particularly it was kickoff. It was watching Dante Hall. That baseball above me is a Dante Hall signed baseball. Random, I know. But like, that's what got me into football. It was exciting. It was electric. And taking those plays away, I don't understand. I understand wanting to make the game safer. And we frankly should have seen this coming. They've gone year after year, iteration after iteration, trying to basically take kickoffs away. But end of the day, it's football. This is football. It's going to be physical. You know this. It's part of the game. Taking this away takes away some excitement. I am not a fan. The players aren't fans. They're saying, you know what? It's worth it for us. We think it makes it more exciting. We're okay taking an extra, what, 4 hits a game?
Right.
Come on. Come on. I hate it.
I want to read one thing that I found. Rich McKay, who's the chairman of the competition committee, was talking to the NFL Network about this. And he cites player safety. Now, that comes ironic with some of the other rules that we're going to read, what I'm going to talk about here in a little bit, that falls kind of on deaf ears, I think, the player safety thing does. Rich McKay says that return rate will drop from 38% to 31%, so drop 7%, they're going to say, and concussion rate will drop 15% with this new rule. When they implemented it in college football, Sterling, I don't know if you watch all that much. I didn't really necessarily care for college football in terms of that. A lot of kickers aren't like booting it out of the end zone anyway. It's just I didn't mind it. But the NFL is a little bit different, I think, when you're looking at just like the strategy, right? There's always the strategy of kicking it high and short of the goal line, so they have to return it. So they have to take some time off the clock. Now you're looking at kicking it high and short of the 25, and like that's not like you can't do that. You can't give them the ball that close to your territory. So I don't know. There's a lot of strategy, I think, that kind of falls out. It's almost like I know coaches don't like it, but it seems like a coaching crutch a little bit, right? So like you either take some of the strategy out of it, kind of like when they talk about the universal DH, like in the National League, they're like, oh, managers don't have to manage as hard. But I don't necessarily think it's
that's that different. Come on now. But, yeah, because you want to bat, you want to see a dude who bats .117 or a guy who, well, if it's the Royals, it might be worse. But yeah, I think it's a little different. But I also will say, with the 13 seconds, would that even play? Would that situation would have arisen if this was in place? Again, I understand the concern of safety, but as we'll probably talk about, as you mentioned later on, I don't think it's safety, it's money. This might be their way of saying, hey, we'll make it safer here, so on the other side, we're going to make more money. It's a very frustrating situation.
Sterling, it's interesting you bring up money, because I want to talk about another rule that is basically based on money. I'm looking over here at my notes here. I've got a whole notepad of all these interesting notes that I was taking place during these rule releases. The NFL approved the ability to flex late season games from Sunday to Thursday. Only you can flex Sunday to Thursday games. There's a Thursday night football flex rule. Now, this rule was originally proposed at the first league meetings, but I believe that the time of the heads up that they had to give basically to teams to like change all their travel was like 2 weeks. Now, Thursday games can only be flexed between weeks 13 and 17. So weeks 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 could be flexed from Sunday to Thursday with a 4 weeks notice mandatory. So they've got to give them a month's heads up to move one of these games from Sunday to Thursday. Again, this is the rule I was kind of talking about with, you know, they care so much about player safety. Players have been very vocal about not wanting to play on Thursday night. And they said, you know what? We're going to toss Amazon a little bit of a bone with their $2 billion little TV budget that they've given us. Let's give them a little bit of a bone. Let's give them some better games while the players are shouting at them not to do it. Another one that just kind of falls on deaf ears.
This is beyond asinine. The players have said no. The NFL's already said, all right, you say no, you're going to get two Thursday football games a year potentially. Yeah, here you go. Here's that. And on top of that, here you go. Here's another FU to the players. And by the way, how about to the fans? I know it's a four-week notice, but think of it, if you have stuff planned already, it's not as easy as saying, all right, let me change hotels, let me change flights. Yeah, thanks, guys. That's a great idea. I mean, you're already watching the horrendous product that is Thursday night football. The players have already said, yeah, we're not fully healed by Thursday. It's going to be a worse product no matter what. But guess what? I still tuned my happy ass in to the Denver Broncos facing the Indianapolis Colts as a 13-9 game. I still watch that. You know why? Because it's football and that is what's on. It doesn't matter if it's a good game or not. Bleep Amazon. They're making enough money. Stop watering down your product just to make a couple extra bucks and to make them happy. Think of the fans. Think of the product itself. Again, they did the whole thing on kickoffs for player safety. How is this player safety? Like, how is this player safety? They're already banged up. They hate it, and you're going to add it again. This is stupid. I hate it. It's going to be good teams.
Yeah.
Bills, Bengals, Chiefs, Eagles, Niners, get ready. You might get that call. Oh, yeah, you want to have that potential for more injuries before the playoffs? What if that happens? What if Jalen Hurts goes down? What if Josh Allen or Mahomes goes down because of this? Yeah, NFL, you think that's a good decision now? Kick rocks.
Sterling's got me fired up. Fired up on this day talking about this rule change for this Thursday night flex. What's really interesting, too, you brought that point up. Teams can now have two Thursday night football games. I don't know if that plays into it. If you only have one on your schedule right now, they can flex you into the second. Or if you have two, they can flex you into a third. I'm not sure how that works. I need to look into that a little bit more. But the flexing of the Thursday night football games, as you mentioned, makes it so much harder on so many people. The players hate it. I can't imagine the logistics staff, like the staffs for these NFL teams who have these hotel plans done. Basically, when the schedule comes out, they have like these travel plans made up. They have to do all of that. Then they have to change it a month in advance. Like, okay, now cancel all of those hotel rooms that we have in San Francisco, because now we have to go we have to move our trip up to a Thursday to really a Tuesday when they got to fly in. It's just put so much pressure on so many people other than like the players. Like, obviously the player safety, the players, that's a huge part of it, right? I don't want to ignore that and ignore like the players have shouted at the NFL, please do not make us play on Thursday nights. The product is bad. You're right, Sterling. I'm going to watch the bad football. I'll still watch it because it's football. But they don't like to play on Thursday nights because all of those Thursday night games, short turnarounds usually, and they're just not a very good product. And I think the NFL is trying to give Amazon a better product here and sake for more money, but that's not at risk of, player safety, player health, and then the logistics staffs, everything that goes into it. You mentioned families saving up trips to go to, San Francisco, right? You want to go to San Francisco, watch the Niners play the Chiefs. Oh, but that game just got moved. You don't have these people don't have time to take off work or move their days off or move their travel plans. Like that's just so it's hard. It's very hard to swallow this one and just kind of take this one as a rule.
The one thing I will say is the only way the players will be able to stop Thursday night football is if they do what the NBA does, because the NFLPA is not as strong as the NBA or the Major League Baseball. And part of the reason is there's so many players in the NFL, so it makes it a little bit more difficult. But they almost need to do an NBA situation where they have a load management. Like, they almost have to have – imagine if Mahomes and Josh Allen just said, you know what? No, we're sitting out. It would suck. But yeah. Eventually the NFL would get the picture saying, all right, if they're not going to play, if the superstars say, we are out, we're not doing this, we're done. Travis Kelce says, we're done. I got a bum knee this week, coach. I'm not going out there. I mean, but seriously, that's what it would have to take for them to realize Thursday night football is a bad idea. You have to hit them in the pocketbook.
And they've proven that. I think the NFL has proven that they value money over player health, player safety with just obviously this rule right here, but it's not the first time that the NFL has kind of shown their true colors and they're wanting to care about player safety, but obviously not care about the actual players themselves. They care about the safety of them, but not the actual players with these rule changes. And Sterling, I've got one more rule, but I think we should take a break first before we got to simmer down. We got to simmer down from these two rules because these two rules are pretty, they got us pretty hot, pretty worked up. We got to simmer down. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, talk about one more rule, and then we're going to get into some Chiefs OTAs. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Make sure you download our new app. Find it on the App Store or Google Play. Just search KC Sports Network.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
All right, welcome back into KCSN Update. I'm Tucker Franklin, hanging out with Sterling Holmes of the Home Stretch on ESPN Kansas City and 810 Sports Radio. Also, the Arrowhead Addict podcast. Make sure to check him out at the Home Stretch. That's your Twitter handle, right, Sterling?
Home, that was off the show. Home Stretch KC. It was close.
Just close. Got to do my homework better next time. I was just going off the dome, shooting from the hip. But Sterling, another teams were shooting from the hip this offseason. They were shooting from the hip, especially the San Francisco 49ers, which I like to call this rule the Brock Purdy rule. I think that's an aptly named rule because I think this was unanimously approved, by the way. This was a rule that I think almost everyone agreed on, having an emergency quarterback active but not taking up an active game day spot. So teams, you know, a lot of times have that third quarterback that they have on the inactives list. I know Shane Bouchel was inactive a lot last year for the Kansas City Chiefs. But this, basically, because of how that whole NFC Championship game with Brock Purdy getting hurt and their backup quarterback got hurt, and they're like, okay, Brock, go back out there and just hand the ball off the whole time. It was competitive advantage, I think, is what they cited as the reason for this rule. But the NFL is now allowing teams to have a third quarterback dressed and active, and it won't take up a game day spot. The only caveat is they can't just play him if their two quarterbacks suck. If your two quarterbacks are sucking, you can't just play them. They have to be medically out of the game to put in this third quarterback. Sterling, I want to know your thoughts on this rule.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, they have to still be on the 53-man roster.
I believe so, yes.
So they have been the 53, so you still have to have three QBs in the 53. But if you do, it was only two QBs on the, 46-man, the game day roster. Now it's now you get the extra spot here. I like it. Frankly, it would have helped the Chiefs. It would have been able to have Shane Bouchel on the roster last year if they so choose, because he was on the 53. He would have been active on game day. I like this rule. I don't know why it took this long to begin with. It makes no sense why you couldn't. It shouldn't have been up to the teams anyways. Having a rule that said they couldn't made no sense. What is this? a dictatorship over here. I mean, kind of, it's the NFL. It's Goodell. Yeah. Kind of, it's a dictatorship. But this is, again, the competitive advantage or the smoothing out, if you will. So you're not seeing Christian McCaffrey play quarterback in a playoff game. This makes a lot of sense. I'm all for it.
Thanks, Sir. I believe the NFL had a rule up until 2010 about having a third quarterback, and they did away with it in 2010, and now they're bringing it back. Makes all the sense in the world, especially, you know, injuries, player health, obviously a huge concern of the NFL. So they're all about player health and player safety. So I think it just makes sense for everybody on all sides for this rule to work. And I saw a headline when I was doing some research for this rule here. The Philadelphia Inquirer had a headline that said the Philadelphia Eagles beat the San Francisco 49ers that the NFL changed its rules. Beat them so hard that the NFL changed its rules. And I saw that and I was just like, what a Philadelphia headline. What an absolutely Philadelphia headline.
I'm surprised they didn't throw John in there. J-A-W-N. I mean, I get it. The Chiefs fans, we complained. We did too when the coin toss and eventually got changed for the Bills. And then now you're seeing this for the Eagles. It's what happens, man. And this one, the Niners weren't going to win either way. I don't think the Niners were winning Brock Purdy. The Eagles were a buzzsaw in the NFC. But I get it. You're always going to pump your chest out. If you beat a team and the rule changes, of course you're going to acknowledge it. Yeah, of course you're going to acknowledge it.
Yep. Yeah, you mentioned it. Chiefs fans did it last year when the Chiefs beat the Bills, and they said, nope, they got to change the rules now because the Chiefs beat the Bills. And every team's going to do it. But I just saw the headline, and I just chuckled to myself. I was like, that's such a Philadelphia. It just seems like a very Philadelphia headline.
And now I want a cheesesteak. How dare you, Tucker? Now I want to go to Jim's. Jim's cheesesteaks in Philadelphia are outstanding. Or Delisandro's. Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to have some new places to go to when I head out to Philly.
I lived there 3 years, Tucker. I'll give you all the stuff.
That's true. I forget about that. Yeah, you did. So I got to go check out those cheesesteaks. Something else that we've been checking out is OTAs. Today, as we're recording this podcast, is the first practice that media are allowed to this offseason. So Sterling, is football back? Is that what that means?
We're so back. And Mahomes is back. I love this, man. The fact that Mahomes, he doesn't need to. It's voluntary. You don't always have to go to these things. But Mahomes is there. He's a leader. You know who's not there? Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson wasn't there. I don't know when he's going to be there. He told him he'll go. He'll arrive when he arrives. Dude wanted all that money, all that animosity between him and the Ravens. Gets his contract. He's not there. That's why you love Patrick Mahomes. You love it. You love it that he is the leader. He knows what's at stake. There's a Super Bowl on the line. There's new receivers coming in. He's trying to get better. Eric Bieniemy, the OC, he's gone. Matt Nagy, obviously he was there originally, but now he's bumped up. There's probably going to be a little bit of wrinkles thrown in there. So what's he want to do? He wants to get there early. That is a leader.
I always love this season of just like looking at the pictures that the Chiefs put out and see like who's playing where. I remember a couple years ago when Creed Humphrey was drafted and people were looking at like the pictures of OTAs and like swiping through like the slideshow they had. And they said, wait, there's a left hand on that ball. He's playing center right there. And you know who's right next to him? Like, that's like Joe Tooney over there. He's with the ones. And so like, it's just the way that people are just such fiends for this content, for just whatever the Chiefs are going to put out from OTAs. And we're going to analyze every single bit of it and look at it and look at all of these pictures of, oh, look at Rashee Rice. Oh, Drew Tranquil. He's got a ball in his hand. Does that mean he get an interception? What is he playing with? It's the way that people react to these pictures that the Chiefs put out. I think it is incredible and I love it. It's at the same time, both like what are we doing? And at the same time, I love this so much.
You see Justin Ross in shorts and a tank top jogging up a hill and it's like he's going for 1,200. Not he's making the rosters. He's going for 1,200. He's wide receiver too. He's going to win. I don't know if he can win Rookie of the Year. I don't know how it works. I know in baseball, you have a certain amount of time. I know like the NBA, if you're gone from injury, you can still win because that was the whole Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Yeah. So I don't know how it works in the NFL, but you see just him jogging. He's best shape of his life right now. It's best shape of your life season. It also helps when the Chiefs just won the Super Bowl and the Royals are 15-35. Of course, you're going to overanalyze what the Chiefs are doing in OTAs. Come on.
You have to keep your sanity at this point. You can't pay attention to the Royals. I'm trying to, and it's been tough. But no, I do think what's really interesting, you brought up Justin Ross, and I can I talk some receivers with you, Sterling, because I know when I was on your program at the Arrowhead Addict podcast, we talked about Richie James before he signed with the Chiefs, and we had talked about you had talked been early on the Richie James train. And I'm curious your thoughts on the Chiefs wide receiver room. I saw Matty Lane put out a tweet that I thought was really interesting. And he said the Chiefs wide receiver, I think it was 3-9, is like maybe the best in the league. And just like the depth that they have there from, I think it might have been 4-9. The depth that they have at the wide receiver might have that star power, that Juju Smith-Schuster, that name you guys have heard of. They've got MVS on there. And they've got Kadarius Toney. They've got Sky Moore, guys that can step up and play. Not a guy that has been a proven commodity, I should say. What are your thoughts on this Chiefs wide receiver room as it stands right now?
Yeah, that's pretty bold. It's a pretty bold statement going 4-9. I mean, I get it. That's great to have those guys. But if you want a baseball reference, just, you know, it's great having a lot of fours and fives, but eventually you need a one and two. But I don't know if this Chiefs team needs a one or a two. They've just shown they don't need a one. With Tyreek Hill going to Miami, but they had a two in Juju Smith-Schuster. Now, is MVS, is he a two? He's more of a three to me. Sky Moore, I think he can take that jump to being a two. I'm very much sold on him. You look at the PFF numbers, limited sample size, you know, PFF numbers higher than George Pickens. Reminds me personally a lot of Deontay Johnson, another Steelers wide receiver, but with Johnny Benchian-sized hands. Obviously, Deontay Johnson has an issue with drops. You look at the hand size, that may be an issue that comes into play there. I like Kadarius Toney a lot, but I'm a little nervous that it might be a Sammy Watkins situation where you're so tantalized by the talent, but can he stay healthy? I hope he can. I hope he can, because I think the talent, you might see bottom end wide receiver one talent from Kadarius Toney. But then you get to, you know, Rashee Rice. You get into Richie James, and Richie James, I do think, makes the roster. I think he takes those unnecessary hits off of Kadarius Toney as a special teamer, as a McCole Hardman replacement, if you will, those jet sweeps. If you want Kadarius Toney to be a wide receiver one or a wide receiver two, but a legitimate outside wide receiver, you can't have him doing jet sweeps. You can't have him. That's what happened with Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill thrived in those niche plays. But eventually, you have to say, if you want to be the best wide receiver you can be, someone else has to do those gimmick plays, if you will. And that's where Richie James comes in. And you're looking at wide receiver six, which is Justin Watson, who's back, or you're looking at, you know, an Amir Smith-Marset. Now, the thing with Justin Watson that I find fascinating is he's a special teamer, yes, but his game is very similar to MVS. They run a lot of the same routes. If you notice last year, when MVS's snap count went down, who's went up? Well, it was Justin Watson. So I'm a little intrigued by his roster spot, where he fits in. I wonder what that means for MVS if he has a bad camp. I wonder if they try and get out from underneath that contract. I would be shocked just because he's a veteran. They need at least some veteran presence on this team. But they have a fine wide receiver core, but they don't need great. Mahomes elevates everyone. Right. So I'm content with it.
I think that's a good way to put it. When I look at this receiving room, would it be nice to have DeAndre Hopkins? Of course. Would it be nice to have a guy that draws a lot of attention away from Travis Kelce so Travis Kelce could maybe have some cleaner middle of the field? Yeah, that would be sick. Do they have to have that? No. They, as you mentioned, Sterling, they proved last year. They can win without Tyreek Hill. They can win without a surefire number one. I am very excited to see what Kadarius Toney can do. I'm cautiously optimistic because, as you mentioned, his injury history is lengthy. He's got a laundry list of injury items, and a lot of it has to do with the lower body, too, with him being so quick and how he's been with everything. But I do think it's really interesting just looking at this room as a whole, because you mentioned Amir Smith-Marset. That's a guy I didn't even mention when we were talking about Justin Ross, John Ross. They've put a lot of bodies in camp. It's going to be a position that is going to be hotly contested, I think. I think some people might be upset if Justin Ross, and I know we've talked about sometimes too, that Justin Ross is looking like a guy when you just start looking at this wide receiver room of guys that could make the roster, as a numbers game, it looks like he might be on the outside looking in just because of the pure numbers of how many wide receivers that they have on this roster. Now, I want to see him go out there. I want to see him tear it up camp. I want to see him make the roster, right? I would love for that to happen. I would love to see an undrafted free agent that Brett Veach finds just be an absolute dude. I'm optimistic about what he can do. We've seen him. Patrick Mahomes even said he looks really good. You can see he said he saw the talent there. So
I will say, what's he going to say?
Yeah,
that would sound like, oh yeah, dude, he's buns, my guy. Like of course he's not gonna say that. Yeah,
he's cooked. I can't throw the ball to him. Yeah, I think that's a very good point. But this wide receiver room is very interesting to me. I think Patrick Mahomes proved that he could win with Juju and MVS last year. But taking Juju away and then not really adding anyone back. No offense to Richie James, Sterling. No offense, but he's no Juju. I'll ride the boat on that one. But there's still a lot of storylines to talk about from OTAs. I still think offensive line is one of the big ones. The defense, how they've kind of all built that. But we're going to take a break before we get into those more storylines. We'll be right back after this.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Make sure you download our new app. Find it on the App Store or Google Play. Just search KC Sports Network.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
Tucker Franklin and Sterling Holmes hanging out with you here on KCSN Update. Hope you guys are having a great day. Whenever you're listening to this, we're recording this on Wednesday, so I hope you're having a great hump day, a great middle of your week. Listen, Memorial Day this weekend when we're recording this podcast. It's the start of summer, Sterling, and it kind of feels like summer out there when you walk out there. It's just there's good vibes all around.
Oh, yeah, dude. I have my little cigars next to me. Already getting ready, baby. We're getting ready. A smoke on that Bengals pack. Come on.
That Joe Burrows. We're going to smoke on them Joe Burrows, what we're going to do this season. But no, Sterling, I want to talk about the offensive line, if you will. If you'll entertain me here with the offensive line, because I think that there's something very interesting going on. They obviously drafted Wanya Morris in the third round of this draft. I think that was a phenomenal pick. One of my favorite picks in this draft. I think he's a very talented guy that can play right tackle. Then they signed Juwan Taylor to say, hey, this guy's going to play left tackle. This guy's going to play left tackle for us. We're going to give him left tackle money. We're going to give him the opportunity to be the protector of Patrick Mahomes' blindside. After the draft, they go and sign Donovan Smith. A move that, to me, was a somewhat of a surprise. I don't know about you, Sterling. That move kind of surprised me. Then you have Andy Reid come out at the end of rookie minicamps and say, yeah, Donovan Smith's going to get the one reps at the beginning of this OTA. So I think a lot of people were maybe hit the panic button a little too early on that because it is just phase three of OTAs. It's not like they're starting the season tomorrow. But what are your thoughts on this offensive line configuration with Donovan Smith on the left side, Juwan Taylor on the right?
Befuddling. I'm not mad about it. I mean, frankly, this is the deepest depth-wise offensive line that the Chiefs have had under Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, this is the deepest offensive line he is going to have. The interior is still set, one of, if not the best interior offensive line in the NFL. But the tackles, the game plan is just a little confusing for me. I'm not saying I dislike it. I don't dislike bringing in Donovan Smith. I don't dislike that move in the grand scheme of things. It's, you know, $3 million up to $9 million. That's fine. Last year, he was injured. The entire Bucs offensive line was decimated. We saw Orlando Brown Jr., his worst games came when Joe Tooney was out. It makes sense that Donovan Smith would have a bad year last year. If you think he bounces back to what he did the years prior, he was on an upward trajectory. I can believe it. But where we sit on May 24th or whatever day, where, you know, I'm going to go ahead and just say this. As the starters at tackle and upgrade over last year, the depth is way better. I'm all in on Wanya Morris. I mean, Wanya, he has a pedigree, five-star guy coming out of high school. Mm-hmm. He was all-freshman as a left tackle, all-freshman SEC as a left tackle at Tennessee, then went to Oklahoma. Head coach gets canned, right? Or not get canned, but he left to USC. Right. Another head coach. So three different schemes in 3 different years. That's big. That's a tough thing to have happen for an offensive lineman. I know it's not a quarterback, but it's still difficult. So it's a guy who picks up quickly, has the pedigree. He's shown something before. I like Wanya Morris. Juwan Taylor, where does he fit into the situation? At right tackle, he's the highest paid right tackle in football. He's on a, again, upward trajectory. I like Juwan Taylor. I like the versatility he presents. And I understand people who say, well, left tackle, right tackle, you know, in today's NFL, you know, the edges and edge rushers, they move all around. You got to have good tackles at both spots. I agree, but paying him to be the highest paid right tackle in football to me is beyond questionable, because Travis Kelce is the best tight end in football, the most dynamic, maybe the most dynamic offensive player outside of a quarterback in football, right? The mismatch he presents. But you don't pay him like a wide receiver because that position does not get paid like a wide receiver. So paying a right tackle like a left tackle doesn't make any sense. Folks are going to point to Lane Johnson. Juwan Taylor isn't Lane Johnson. We can't get there. I'm not going to get there. I'm a Chiefs supporter. I'm a very much optimistic guy, and the Chiefs have given me no reason to be pessimistic. But he's not Lane Johnson. We can't get that far. So that leaves me saying, is this better, money-wise as well, better starting-wise than last year? Landon Brown Jr. is $16 million per year, right? Andrew Wiley, I believe, came in at $7 million. Donovan Smith, if he hits his incentives, let's just say he hits his incentives being the starting guy at left tackle at $9 million, and Juwan Taylor at $20 million. You're looking at about $6 million more for Juwan Taylor and Donovan Smith over you were for what Andrew Wiley got this year and what Orlando Brown Jr. got this year. Is this offensive line starters, not depth-wise, starters, $6 million better than last year?
That's going to be the burning question. That's going to be what we try to find out. But Sterling, what I think is interesting, I don't know if Donovan Smith sticks at left tackle. That's going to be the thing for me, is that they want to start him out there. I think they want to start him out there and see, okay, what do we got? What do we got here? I think Wanya Morris might break the door down. As a term we like to use with minor leaguers, Wanya Morris might say, hey, I need to be in here. I need to be in this offensive line. And I think that that's going to kind of force their hand a little bit. They're not paying Donovan Smith a whole lot of money where they feel like they're forced to play him. Now, they're paying Juwan Taylor enough money that they feel like they're forced to pay him. And if he just goes to the left tackle and Wanya Morris goes to the right tackle, all is well, in my opinion. I think like this is all going to work out to that point. I'm not getting too worked up about Donovan Smith going, because I don't necessarily think he's going to be the week one starter. Yeah. But you made a really good point about Donovan Smith, though. Last year, they had a revolving door at the guard beside him. The health on that Buccaneers offensive line, poor. They did not have the same guy by him for very long. And putting the guy who has struggling, I should say in air quotes, next to Joe Tooney has proven to be a pretty good idea when you have an offensive tackle like that. Orlando Brown, he got a lot of Joe Tooney help. He should send Joe Tooney a check, part of the deal. I think that if you're going out of that, like if you were going to put Donovan Smith next to Joe Tooney, okay, fine. I don't think, in my opinion, that Donovan Smith will be the left tackle that starts week one for this team. I think my ideal offensive line, I don't know about you, Sterling, it's going to be Juwan Taylor, the left tackle. I know he hadn't played there, but I think him at the left tackle next to Joe Tooney with Creed in the middle, Trey, and then obviously Wanya Morris. Playing next to Trey Smith once again in his career. That's a great story. I think that offensive line, you look at it. Again, speaking to the depth, they've got the depth with Donovan Smith to come in and play your swing tackle role. Yeah. I think that makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, again, I really like the Donovan Smith signing in a nutshell. I just don't know what his role is going to be. When it comes to Juwan Taylor, talking with Tim Grunard, his source is down there in Jacksonville. He basically said they never see him as a left tackle. They don't see Juwan Taylor's left tackle, and they were a little confused by that. They said they love Juwan Taylor. They think he's a great right tackle. They think he's going to be a stud at right tackle, but they don't see him as a left tackle. That gives me a little cause for concern because you're paying him like a, frankly, high-paid left tackle. Again, Juwan Taylor's probably going to look better in this offense anyways. Patrick Mahomes is the best evading pressure. While he does sometimes hold on to the ball a long time, and while he sometimes does take long dropbacks, Juwan Taylor is much more athletic. He's much more suited for that than Orlando Brown Jr. Not saying Orlando Brown Jr. is bad. There's a reason why he was the highest coveted or the most coveted left tackle as a free agent. There's a reason. Okay, he's not a bum. He's not a bum like some people want to make him out to be. But he didn't fit this offensive line the same way I think Juwan Taylor's skill set is. Now, I think Orlando Brown Jr. is more polished than Juwan Taylor. I think that is for sure the case. But it remains to be seen. I'm high on Wanya Morris. Is there any chance you think he could play left tackle? Because, again, he played left tackle as a freshman, all SEC, as a freshman. That's great.
Yeah.
But he was drafted as a right tackle, moved to right tackle at Oklahoma. Any chance Morris is actually the left tackle and Juwan Taylor stays at right?
Well, it's interesting, too. You talk about him at Oklahoma. Anton Harrison was their left tackle. They weren't going to move Anton Harrison away from left tackle. He had to move to right tackle. It's interesting because maybe he can. I go back to this a lot because we had talked to Duke Manyweather before about, like, switching sides. I think it was basically, like, when the Chiefs traded for Orlando Brown and they were trying to switch him sides. And he's like, yeah, that's not as easy as people want to make it out to be. And he went through the whole science of, like, the flexion in your hips changing and your drive leg is now your plant leg if you're going from right to left. And he compared it to wiping your butt with a different hand. That's kind of what he compared it to, just how it feels a little bit awkward. The whole motion's different. So it is interesting.
Best analogy. Come on. Shooting a basketball with your offhand or nope. Playing ping pong with your offhand or...
Nope. Man. Duke was going for the kill shot there when he told us that. And I think that's a good way to kind of explain it and for people to be like, oh, that is kind of awkward. That is kind of weird. But I would love to see if he goes to left tackle and Juwan Taylor's at right tackle. Sure. I'm sure. Sign me up. But again, the process of that, I think what we're talking about with just signing Juwan Taylor to the amount of money just to play right tackle is a process that's not our favorite necessarily. Yes.
And again, the Chiefs have earned all of the goodwill. They can do what they want. We're just a couple of dudes behind a microphone talking. They're the dudes that are holding up, you know, Lombardis and rings. I get it, but this would be a very boring conversation if all we did was agree with everything they did. They can be wrong. They've been wrong with Breland Speaks. They've been wrong with contracts given out. Like, it's not a... But seriously, no one is 100%. No one is 100%. Even if you're winning in Super Bowls, no one is 100%. Our job is not just to agree with everything they do. And again, I'm not saying it's going to be a bad decision, but I have a lot of questions about making Juwan Taylor the highest paid right tackle in football.
Really Speaks is tearing up the USFL right now for the Michigan Panthers. I don't know if you know this, Sterling, but he is like one, at least three players of the week, defensive player of the week for the Michigan Panthers. He's got like double-digit sacks already. So dude is tearing it up. And speaking of the defense, let's stay on the defensive side of the ball, Sterling. I want to get your thoughts before we wrap up this podcast. I want to get your thoughts on the defense kind of as a whole, because I think that this Chiefs defense has the potential to be Patrick Mahomes' best ever defense, in a very incredibly underrated unit in this National Football League.
Yeah, I think the defense is, again, the deepest it's been with Patrick Mahomes taking over as the starting quarterback. So they're standing by the deepest offensive line. This is the deepest defense. Drew Tranquil, I think, was a great pickup. I know the Chiefs don't necessarily need a linebacker when talent is out there, especially at a place where they struggled at least a little bit on third downs when it comes to pass coverage at the linebacker position. I love Nick Bolton. He knows where to be, but the athleticism is not quite there. Drew Tranquil thrives as a pass coverage linebacker. He also had, five sacks last year as well. Very versatile chess piece. Willie Gay Jr. was a slight disappointment, if you will, last year. I think him and Derek Nottie were the only two guys who were like, man, they really didn't show that improvement that we would like to see. Not to say he can't get there. And maybe this is just to light a fire under Willie Gay Jr. saying, hey, look, we brought a guy in. He's going to take your job. maybe that lights a fire under Willie Gay Jr. Obviously, L'Jarius Sneed is still here, at least for this year. That much we do know. The cornerback position, I like a ton. Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson, Trey McDuffie as rookies to take a step forward. Safeties, they are deep. Mike Edwards, Deion Bush, they brought back. Obviously, Justin Reed, Shamari Connors. Defensive line, Chris Jones, obviously still here. But George Karloftis, FAU, Felix Anudike Uzama. Just so much. Turk Wharton back and healthy, by the way, as well.
That's a big one. Just, yeah.
But there's so much versatility, and that's what it's like. You will never have positional, Golden State Warriors, right? Positionless basketball. You won't see that in football because, to an extent, you're not going to put a safety at defensive tackle. It's not going to work out. Okay. But to an extent, there is some positional versatility or positionless with Leo Chanel, linebacker, edge rusher. You have it with Charles Abinahu, inside, outside. Karloftis, inside, outside. Chris Jones, inside, outside. L'Jarius Sneed, inside, outside. Safety, if you want. Shamari Connor has a little bit of slot cornerback as well as safety. You're seeing a lot of that. Drew Tranquil, obviously, as you mentioned, with being 5.5 sacks, 5 sacks, whatever it was, and a coverage linebacker. So that's what it really is Spagnuolo is going to have so much in the cupboard to work with. Get ready to see some incredible blitz packages drawn up. L'Jarius Sneed, we know they like to send, but now look at the other side. It's going to be so much fun.
It's going to be incredible. And I think the Chiefs really had a focus on the trenches this year on both sides of the ball, right? You talked about the versatility on the offensive line, even the versatility all over on the defense. You look at the defensive line, they really beefed up. You mentioned FAU. Keandre Coburn, I think a pick in the sixth round was an incredible pickup for them. Which Craig Stout was hammering the table for him in the fourth, and we get him in the sixth. I think that's just like a perfect case scenario. Great guy, great kid. We met him out at the East-West Shrine Bowl, and an incredible player, just a run stuffer. One of those guys you just love to watch play. Mike DeVito absolutely loves him. Derek Johnson and him broke down film of Keandre Coburn.
Let's break down Mike DeVito's film and see when you
listen. They did. I'll choose that YouTube link. They broke down Mike DeVito's sack. Remember on Brock Osweiler when he took him down and then he hit him with the dab at the end of it. Yeah,
the dab was a thing.
It was hot in the streets when Mike DeVito was sacking quarterbacks.
What about the Raji? Remember, do the Raji?
Yeah,
the dude from Green Bay. Gosh,
DJ Raji.
The old dance moves. Crazy. The grit is gonna go the way of that eventually. Just so you kids know, all you youngsters out there, you think the gritty's all that. Get ready for 3 years and it's going the way of the Soldier Boy.
Ooh. It's like remember when who was it? Okay, I can't remember the guy who played for the Eagles. DeSean Jackson.
DeSean Jackson?
That was an adventure for me to get there, by the way. He hit the jerk going into the end zone. You remember that?
Yeah.
That was pretty good. I still think about that one all the time. More than a normal human being should think about that.
Also, by the way, Mike Dana does not get enough credit. Inside, outside, NASCAR package. I think Charles Domenihu might be the souped up Mike Dana, if you will, like inside, outside type of guy. And we'll wait to see what the suspension looks like, how many games he's going to miss. But again, versatility, inside, outside. They did it with Dana last year, and Dana is just this unsung dude, never talked about, goes out, performs. I mean, he was a fifth-round draft pick. The tab on him was undrafted free agent. I'm sitting here going, what the hell? What are they doing? Well, they know what they're doing. They got a high-floor guy who goes out, high motor, and gets it done. Man, I like Mike Dana.
That's a good one. That defensive line, I mean, you mentioned Tershawn Horton. I was like, I completely forgot about that guy because he's just been hurt. He was playing some good ball prior to getting hurt. So I'm very excited to see what this Chiefs defense looks like. I think it could be the best unit in the NFL. There, I said it. Clip it. I said it. I think this Chiefs defense could be the best unit in the NFL if they play up to their potential. Sterling, that might be a hot take.
I found the lie. I found the lie of it's right there on my ceiling. Come on, man. Like, I'm with you.
I'm feeling good.
But the Eagles and Niners exist.
I'm feeling good. I feel good about it. Don't let this OTA buzz. Don't kill my OTA buzz. Everyone's the best team in football this time of year, Sterling.
It's true. Best shape of your life season, baby. Sorry best for getting that Kendrick Lamar wrote a song about this. I'm sorry for killing your vibe.
Yes, he did. A very good song. Sterling, thank you for joining me today. I got one final question for you. What links are we hitting up this weekend?
Oh, where do you want to go? I'm thinking Fred Arbanis.
I've never heard of that one.
It's out there in Lee Summit by Longview Lake. Played there once this year. The only issue is you got to make sure on one of the holes in the front nine, like hole 7 or 8. I'm a lefty. I play a draw, okay? And there's a street that comes right in your view. Now, I played there once in my life. I hit the fairway. Humble brag. But that's very rare. So that means the next time I play, that's going to be a duck hook onto oncoming traffic. So I want to play Fred Arbanis with you and with Foot, frankly. I'm trying to go out there and hit the links with you boys. But
he'll lap us, man.
Let's look at playing out there.
Let's do it. Let us know in the comment section below where we should play. If you are familiar with the Kansas City golf scene, let us know. We're going to play them all. We're like Ash Ketchum of golfers because we're going to play them all. We're going to play all those golf courses. So, Sterling, I appreciate you joining me. Thank you for listening to this episode of KCS and Update here on KC Sports Network. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a show as we are rolling through off-season content. The KC Lab will be live on Thursday night, 8 p.m. on the KCSN YouTube channel. Go check out Sterling Holmes on Twitter at TheHomestretchKC. I got it right that time. And go follow him to stay up to date on his shows, The Homestretch, obviously, wherever you listen to a radio on Sports Radio 810 and ESPN Kansas City. Also, the Airhead Addict podcast. Go check him out. Oh, I forgot the Stacking the Box podcast, too. Check him out as well.
A lot of things, dude.
You do so many things. But I appreciate you joining me. Appreciate you guys listening. And make sure to hit that like and subscribe button as well if you're watching this on YouTube. Until next week, I will talk to you guys later. Stay safe, Chiefs Kingdom.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all 6 of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.